And this is called the Revival at Mount Carmel. We have interesting names like Ahab, Jezebel, and Elijah. And a most interesting, intriguing passage of Scripture. Just before we begin to read, let me just give you a little background of what's taking place here. So we have King David leading Israel in a united way. Solomon comes, goes downhill. Solomon's sons are a disaster. They just ruin the place, and it becomes a divided kingdom. And lo and behold, a man named Ahab becomes the king. Now, as you read through 1 and 2 Chronicles, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Samuel, you'll read over and over, this king did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. And here are these people who have been delivered from Egypt. God has just rescued them time after time, and they're turning to false gods, and they have false prophets. And it says of Ahab that he's the worst. Ahab is the worst king Israel ever had. He's evil, he's cruel, he's full of greed, and lo and behold, he marries a lady named Jezebel. How many of you have ever heard of Jezebel? Well, she's pretty popular, isn't she? What for? For her wickedness. She is a wicked lady. And she is a princess. She's the daughter of the king of Sidon, which is over on the coast. You've got Sidon and Tyre, an area called Phoenicia, which is famous for their ships. And so Ahab, in his greed for power and wealth, marries Jezebel because he thinks it's going to help him. Well, Jezebel is a powerful woman. She takes over, Ahab takes over the country, and she is a worshiper of Baal, a false god who's known as the sun god, or the god of the seasons, who can make it rain or not rain, and so on. Also a god named Ashtaroth. So Jezebel just takes over, brings that into the country. It's a down time in Israel, a time of spiritual darkness, moral decline. She has 850 false prophets, and it says they eat at her table. So, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, here are these false prophets gathered with Jezebel to promote this false worship throughout the land. Now there comes on the scene a man named Elijah the Tishbite. He lives in the country. He is like John the Baptist. He's a rugged, tough individual. He belongs in the mountains and in the country. And he is sent by God to go and confront this wicked king, Ahab. So with that background, then, let's pick it up in 1 Kings 18, beginning at verse 17. Then it happened when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said to him, "Is that you, O troubler of Israel?" Now he said that to Elijah because Elijah prophesied that it's not going to rain. And they had no rain. And it's a desperate famine. The cattle are dying and the people are starving. And so Ahab is blaming Elijah. verse 18, Elijah answered and said, I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and have followed the Baals. Now, Elijah is risking his life to confront the king. He says, now therefore, send and gather all Israel to me on Mount Carmel, the 450 prophets of Baal, and the 400 prophets of Asherah, who eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent for all the children of Israel, gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. Elijah came to all the people and said, Now, you want to underline this question. How long will you falter between two opinions? Or that is, waver. If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. And the people answered him, not a word. Then Elijah said to the people, I alone am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Well, what happened to the other prophets beside Elijah? Jezebel had them slain. She murdered God's prophets, and a few of them were still hiding in a cave. And here's Elijah, the only one there, 23. Therefore, let them, that is the false prophets, give us two bulls. Let them choose one bull for themselves, cut it in pieces, lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. And I will prepare the other bull, lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. Then you will call on the name of your gods. I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, he is God. So all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Now Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one bull for yourselves and prepare it first, for you are many. And call upon the name of your God, but put no fire under. So they took the bull which was given them, and they prepared it, and called on the name of Baal from morning till noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, no one answered. Then they leaped about the altar which they had made. And so it was at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is meditating, or he's busy, or he's on a journey, or perhaps he is sleeping and must be awakened. So they cried aloud, cut themselves as was their custom with knives and lances until the blood gushed out on them. And when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. But there was no voice. No one answered. No one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, come near to me. So all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, Israel shall be your name. Then with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench around the altar large enough to hold 2 seahs of seed. And he put the wood in order, cut the bull in pieces, laid it on the wood, and said, fill 4 water pots with water, pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. Then he said, do it a second time. And they did it a second time. And he said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time. So the water ran all around the altar, and he also filled the trench with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. And Elijah said to them, Seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape. Well, we might as well go home after reading that. What a time in Israel. The extreme spiritual darkness and the moral decline. And people like Ahab and Jezebel in power. And along comes Elijah, a man of prayer, a man of faith, a man of courage, how he stood up to them. Now, an interesting thing is that Jezebel didn't come to this occasion, but the others were there. And so, as we think of what happened there, we think of our nation this morning. And here is an article in the paper that speaks to our present day, where the article says there, this is the question. This is the question before us. Do Americans really not care about a president's sins? And if so, what does that mean for the nation? That's where we are. Do we care? The article says, there are two major problems for Americans these days are one, tolerance, and two, the understanding there are rights and wrongs. My fear for America is that the value of tolerance has risen to the point where it supersedes moral truth. I think that's the essence of what we face now. A period of spiritual darkness and moral decline. And God stepped in, and we pray for revival, that God will step in and revival power and deliver us from moral decline and spiritual darkness. And of course, revival starts with me. It starts individually. Sometimes God has used one person. Sometimes he's used a small group. Sometimes others. In the early history of our country, there was a man in New York City who began to spend his lunch hour in prayer in his office. In a brief period of time, there were 10,000 men meeting for prayer during their lunch hour. And that man didn't invite them. He just began to pray. 10,000 men. Revival always comes through prayer. And God answered the prayer of Elijah. Now, this question that he asked is all important to the people. He's not talking to the false prophets of Baal. They are already committed. He knows where they are. They are committed to false worship, false teaching, false gods. He talked to the people. The rest of the Israelites out there who were wavering around. In a sense, he would say, how long do you try to live two lives? How long do you play Christian on Sunday and not live it on Monday? What are you doing? Why are you living like this? If the Lord is God, then serve him. If you believe Baal is, go ahead, serve him. How long are you going to wait? That's the question. Now then, he presents this contest with Israel. You 450 prophets here, you go ahead and get your sacrifice ready, and you start calling on Baal. And this satire of Elijah is one of the most interesting and wonderful passages of all Scripture. He mocked them. And he said, cry louder. He's a god. He can hear, but maybe he's too busy. Maybe he went to Palm Springs for vacation, or he's up at Mammoth somewhere. Or maybe he's just taking a nap, needs to be awake. Cry aloud. They did. Then their custom was to torture themselves. They're called ascetics. Torture themselves to try to appear holy. And the blood gushed out, and then they were leaping and dancing, and nothing, no answer, no, nothing. Now Elijah, in this time of drought, when water was absolutely precious, he says, take the barrels of water and pour it out on this sacrifice. Well, you can imagine the objection in the people's mind of saying, hey, we're thirsty. We need water for drinking, for a cook. You can't do this. They did it. Do it a second time. Do it a third time. That's bravery. That's courage. And that's faith. And then he prays a simple prayer. And the prayer is, for God, let it be known this day that you are God. Now that ought to be our prayer. Let the people of the United States of America know at this time that God is God. And for me to let the people around me know that God is my God. And God was pleased to answer by fire, symbol of judgment, that took care of the sacrifice and consumed the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. And Elijah says, go get the false prophets. Let not one of them escaped. They were all slain by the sword. Why? Get rid of evil. Get rid of idolatry. Get rid of sin. Well, you say, isn't this really, that's not, a good God certainly wouldn't do that. Command that these people be slain? Well, he's done that throughout history. One time when Hezekiah was king and Isaiah was the prophet, Sennacherib, the Assyrian, was going to come against Israel with mighty armies. And the Bible says that one night, the angel of the Lord went among the camp of the Assyrian soldiers and slew 185,000. God is a just God. God is a holy God. He says, get rid of evil. Don't want evil among you. Get rid of sin. Get rid of idols. He doesn't put up with idol worship. And so we learn from this lesson. Let not one escape. How long will you play Christian? How long will you have a divided heart? How long will you straddle a fence, say I am Christian, but not live it during the week? How long will the world be our God? Where we are caught up and consumed by every standard and dress and activity that comes to this godless society, and we fall into it. How long will our self be our God? Where we do what we want to do when we want to do it the way we want to do it, and we don't consult God. In the Bible, we read over and over that David inquired of the Lord. Before we start a day, do we inquire of the Lord of what he wants us to do and how he wants us to live? How long will we play Christian and have idolatry in our life? Which can be so many things. You and I all know. We all know what that is. Anything that takes more time and attention, takes our heart away from spiritual truths, is an idol. It can be very subtle, but think through that. Cut it out. Get it out. Slay it. Jesus said you cannot serve two masters. You cannot. You'll hate one and love the other, vice versa. You can't put them together. No. Elijah came along and made a sharp difference between Baal and Jehovah. Now, a lot of those Israelites were probably thinking, we can do both. We can worship the God Jehovah and we can have these false gods and we'll just do both. Not so. Can't do both. Can't have both. Big push on today is this matter of tolerance and unity. Well, let's just get everybody together, every kind of faith under the sun, and let's be tolerant and respect each other's faith. That is spiritual baloney. That's the nicest word I can use. Who is the Lord of my life? Me? This ungodly world? Satan? Idols? If the Lord is my God, then I serve him. Then I follow him. If the Lord is your God, then follow him and serve him. Now this is revival. When God brings us to the place to act upon His enablement and determine that the Lord is going to be God of our lives, revival begins with that, with you, with me. And we understand that God will reveal Himself, and that is what is in our heart. May the Lord bless this passage of Scripture to our hearts. And just let me make one other remark we need to know. God took care of Jezebel and Ahab also. They didn't last long. Jezebel suffered a very disgraceful death. She was thrown from a wall and the dogs ate her, which was prophesied. God didn't let her get away with it. And God is not going to let this world get away with the blasphemy, the rebellion, and the things that take place today. There's a judgment. Judgment is coming. And we need to be ready to speak to those whom we know and love about this. If I had a friend, and I saw that friend with a cup of poison, but that friend didn't know it was poison at that point, and it was coming to his lips, would I not stop him? Would I not say, wait a minute, don't drink that, it'll kill you, it's poison? If I have a friend whom I believe is going to hell by getting involved in some cult or something, should I not say, wait, that's poison, it will destroy you? That's what we're about. We have great truth, the way of forgiveness, the way of eternal life through Christ our Lord. If the Lord be God, then let us serve Him. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for recording for us this wonderful passage of Scripture in which You answered Elijah's prayer and showed Yourself to be God. And we thank You for the way You hate and detest evil and how You do not allow it. We offer ourselves to You this morning to so work in our hearts that idols will be destroyed from us, and that evil will be slain, and that we'll be a free and clear channel of Your grace and mercy. Lord, bring to bear this passage of Scripture. Convict us. Don't let us ignore it, but let us answer to You directly this morning. How long? How long will it be until we come clean and pure before You in holiness? Help us this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.